Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1 and 2. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. That's what I desire for my life. What I desire for you in this church is that in 2018 we would be blessed and increased. But look at the phrase right before that, the preposition phrase, for I called him alone. I want to talk to you on the subject tonight, the loneliness of increase and blessing. You may be seated. When I was a boy, my feeble attempt to do whatever I wanted to do to my mother was, everybody else is doing it. And when I said that, that meant I was in it for about a 30-minute lecture. If they did so-and-so, would you do it? So I'm not talking about everybody's doing it tonight. I'm talking about nobody else is doing it. I heard about a man that preached a sermon called Hell's National Anthem. He said Hell's National Anthem is everybody else is doing it. We feel a safety in the fact that the multitude is in error, and we are insulated somehow from the dire effect of wrongness as long as everybody else is doing it. So I want to talk to you tonight about the blessing and the increase. He said, I have found you and selected you, Abraham, you alone and nobody else. Nobody else is doing it. I say this tongue in cheek. Obviously, millions are receiving God's blessing and increase, but it is a minority compared to those that are not. We don't want to get into the Elijah syndrome. Romans chapter 11 records the story of Elijah and said, Elijah said, I alone am left, God, and they threatened to kill me. And God said, oh, get up, Elijah. I got 7,000 just like you. Sometimes it's real easy to feel like you're the only one in the world that is doing what you're supposed to be doing. But my goal this year is I want to be blessed and I want to be increased. If you're going to be blessed and increased, I can tell you from personal experience and biblical example that you will have to avoid herd mentality. It doesn't happen in groups. It doesn't happen in multitudes. But God singles out people because of their reverence to Him, their affection for Him, their love for Him, their love for truth, their avarice to evil. They're just people that God looks down and says, this is a special person. I'm going to bless them and increase them. Doesn't do it for the herd. He does it for the individuals. Called Him alone. The Bible said, I, for one, am not afraid to be different. I don't mind being different. To be alone is not a problem with me. I've got a friend, she told me, I can't stand to be alone. Actually, it's a family member. I can't stand to be alone. Oh, I got to have somebody with me all the time. I think it's because she didn't want me to leave, but I was fixing to leave her alone right then. I like to be alone. I'm in such good company when I'm alone. It's a little sidebar, but if you're going to receive a true anointing, you're going to have to spend some time alone. Spend some time in the presence of God. Spend some time in the Word of God. Spend some time in intercession, spending time seeking God. God does not hand it out like it's cotton candy. Anointing is a very special, valuable thing, and so God gives it out to those that please Him. I received an email, or actually I think it was a text. It was a text from one of the pastors of one of the larger churches here in the state of Texas. This is what it says, just a paragraph. Let me read it to you. Pastor Steve, there are a lot of things to admire about you. Man, I like this already. But one of the greatest things in your firm is your firm commitment to authenticity. I know that God calls us to run specifically in certain lanes, and it is very clear that you know your lane. Your consistency and your calling is inspirational, and the way you lead your church shows the clarity in your mind. I want you to know how much I appreciate you and everything you stand for. I don't know how many Elvis impersonators there are in the world, but they didn't get rich. Elvis was an amazing entertainer, but just duplicating him did not guarantee success. It's not a tragedy to be alone. It's not a tragedy to be unique. In fact, you need to think of your own uniqueness and realize that nobody has got your fingerprint. Nobody's got your DNA. God made you as an individual, and he intends for you to approach his throne as an individual, not as a group. There was a multitude, but only the woman with the issue of blood, one out of the multitude. The blessing and the increase of God can be a lonely proposition because you can't necessarily link arms and do it with the congregation. It is going to God for yourself. We're living in a world that is under a curse still. This world is still under a curse. If you study the book of Genesis, it's a fascinating, sometimes when you just wanted to know more about God, just study, I mean in depth, about the first five chapters of the book of Genesis. It's a very intriguing study. But when you study this first part of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and you begin to read about how God created man, and you see, I know that there are brilliant people and educated people, scientific minds, amazingly intelligent people, that simply cannot embrace the creation. It's simply impossible for them to wrap their minds around it. It has to be explained. But I don't mind them looking down their nose at me when I say, I believe that God created me in his image. I believe with everything that is in me. You know, the Bible has never been proven to be wrong, but scientific theories have been adapted, adjusted, and totally abandoned after they had been practiced and accepted for decades. And finally, they'd have to say, we were wrong. We were just wrong. It wasn't like we thought it was. I like to watch the TV channels that go into the different things about the beginning of the world and on and on and on, and listen to their phraseology. It could have been. It might be. It seems to be. It's the most ambiguous bunch of statements you've ever heard, and them trying to talk in scientific language, because the truth is they don't know. I believe the Word of God. I said it the other night, and it was so great when I said it. I didn't plan to say it. I've been saying it ever since. Nobody's going to come in between me and Jesus. Nobody. Not the professor, not the astronomer, not the psychologist, not the doctor, not the theologian, not the politician, not the billionaire, not the family member, not the friend, not the enemy. Nobody can get between me and Jesus. When I was 17 years old, I left St. Louis, Missouri for California, and I was a pretty green kid at 17 years of age. And I was going to go to Bakersfield, California, and I didn't know where Bakersfield was. I didn't know where California was. We came through Amarillo. I had a friend in Houston, and I said, hey, let's have coffee together. Let's have a meal while I'm here in Texas. He said, okay, where are you? He was in Houston. I said, I'm in Amarillo. He said, do you know how far Amarillo is from Houston? I said, well, it's all Texas, ain't it? Look at a map, son. Look at a map. So I moved on toward California. But the point I'm making is there was a guy that was from Bakersfield, and we decided to drive together, him in a Le Mans and me in an LTD. And I didn't know where I was going. And so I made up my mind I would follow Mike Parker. And so Mike drove, and not one car got in between me and Mike Parker from St. Louis to Bakersfield, because I wasn't sure I could find it without Mike. And so I never let one car get in between us. Well, I've got that same dogged determination. I'm not going to let one car get between me and Jesus, praise God. I know where he's going, and he has given me an invitation. I'm way off my subject. He's given me an invitation. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Ain't nobody, 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 nobody is getting in between me and Jesus, praise God. No matter how they discredit me, no matter how much they look down at me, no matter how often they write me off, no matter how square and out of it they think I am, nobody is getting in between me and Jesus. And so I believe that God created man in his own image. And when you read the story, and there's so much of it, let me share just a little bit of it with you. And unto Adam, he said, God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's just a little nibble of God talking in these first few chapters about the curse. The reason why you turn on your television and you abhor, you are just blown away by the news that is on there every day. Now, there might be more of it because there's more people, and there's also more access to what's happening around the world. So we feel like we are just being inundated with not just sin, but evil, atrocious acts. People killing their children, children killing their parents, people abusing babies, on and on and on. And you say, why is that? We just wanted to wait for the world to get better. When I was just a young boy, they told me that if we could get more people going to college, America was going to be crime-free. How'd that work out for us? And so the point is this. This world is under a curse. And it's going to be under a curse until Jesus Christ comes back. And so we've got politicians and scientists and powers that be continually trying to solve problems that have no solution. And they will not have a solution until Christ, the King of the universe, the Prince of Peace, comes back to reign on this earth. But the truth is that we are under, this earth is under a curse. And you say, why is that? I don't have time to go through the whole story of creation, but why is this world under a curse? The Bible said in Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt eatest, thou shalt surely die. The reason why we are under a curse is because Adam and Eve partook of the one tree in the garden that God told them not to. And that tree was symbolic of God's tithe. You know, people that feel like, well, I don't tithe, I don't believe in tithing. You think you're getting by, but the truth is, you're not only robbing God, you're robbing yourself every day of all kinds of spiritual gifts as well as material gifts. That tree was God's tithe. That belonged to God. You know, the Bible teaches us that we pay tithe. It actually used that verse, we pay tithe. You know what you pay? Something you owe, something that belongs to somebody else. You give offerings, but you pay tithe because it's not yours to start with. It is God's. And so the first man, Adam, did us in. Because of Adam and Eve, we are living in a cursed world. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, that one man was Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all that have sinned. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And so there's a curse because of Adam and Eve. It's in our DNA. It's in our bloodstream. You can go back and look. I asked somebody the other day, I said, have you got that deal where you can trade your ancestry? He said, no, I wouldn't go back that far for anything. He said, you ought to see how bad my near kin are. He said, I'm afraid to go back there and see who I'm related to. I haven't traced mine back. The reason I haven't traced mine back is I don't care. They're all dead. So I don't care. They should have been inquiring about me. I'm not going to inquire about them. They already moved on. But the point is, we are under a curse because of Adam and because of Eve. But that was never God's will. You know, these people say, oh, you know, every time we have a hurricane or a disaster, they say, well, you know, it's just the will of God. You know, God gives and God takes away, and God wanted to kill those babies, and God wanted to do this. The God that they serve is a God that I can't even wrap my brain around. The God that I serve does not kill people. He does not murder babies. He does not plan car wrecks. He doesn't invent nuclear disaster. None of that. That's not the God that I serve. And God has always been looking for a mate, a family. God's been looking for a people that would love him as much as he loves us. For God so loved the world. And God's entire lifetime, as far as man is concerned, has been spent looking for people, a world that would love him like he loved the world. And it's been a diligent but difficult search. But there comes to the forefront a man by the name of Abraham. And Abraham was not a perfect man. He was simply the friend of God. Abraham receives a reprieve from the curse. That's exactly what I want, is I want a reprieve from the curse, and I want the blessing of God on me in 2018, and I want to be increased. In order for that to happen, I have to receive a reprieve from the curse. The Bible said in James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaineth to the flesh, hath found? He's found what I am looking for. He found a reprieve. He found the blessing of God and the increase of God. How did he do that? By his faith. The Bible said Abraham believed God. Now, we feel like sometimes we have a difficulty and struggle with our faith and our belief, with the history that we have behind us, what we can view in our lives and even people around us, but more particularly in history and then back in the Bible. We should not have near the struggle that Abraham had to have, because we have a whole movie behind us. I've seen this movie before. I know how it turns out. I know how God keeps his people. I know how God blesses his people. I know how God creates miracles out of nothing. Abraham did not know that. He had to learn that. But somehow this man was able to muster his faith enough that God looked at him and he said, "This is who I'm looking for." And if you study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for people of faith, because faith will cause you to walk in unity with the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Abraham pleased God for one reason, because he had faith. And the Bible said not only did he have faith, he believed God, and because of that, it was imputed. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham was not a righteous man. He lied about his wife because he was fearful, and he told a man that was going to cohabit with her, "She's my sister, it's okay," because he was a coward. He was a liar, and he was a coward. And so all of you people out there that say, "I just can't make it," oh yes, you can. The Bible is full of a whole collection of people that God made his friends and his bride and his family, and not one of those people are without imperfections. And so no matter how imperfect you are, if you will hone your faith to believe that God is, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, you can make it. Not only can you make it, in 2018 you can be blessed coming in and going out. Not only can you be blessed coming in and going out, you can be increased. Increased means more than you've ever possessed, more than you've ever had. That's talking about spiritually. That's talking about psychologically. That's talking about materially. That's talking about relationships. That's talking just increase. Just make me bigger and badder and stronger. Praise God. And God said, I will do that. But it's a lonely experience because most people are not going to do that. And so if you choose to be like other people, you most likely will not be blessed and you will not be increased. But if you're the kind of person that can tear yourself away from the television set and walk away from the crowd and find you a place to pray and get into the Word of God and let your faith be released and please God, there's a written guarantee in the Word of God for you, you lonely soul. God's going to bless you and God's going to increase you in 2018. And so we find out that Abraham was a blessed man. The Bible said in Romans 4:7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Come this blessedness then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision? You know what the circumcision is. What is the circumcision? The Jews. Remember that. When it says the circumcision in the Bible, it means the Jewish race. When it says the uncircumcision, it means everybody that's not Jewish. All of us that are Gentiles, we're called the uncircumcision, and the Jews are called the circumcision. And so the Paul is writing, and he said this blessing that came to Abraham, where he was blessed and increased, he said, does that come to the circumcision or to the Jews only? He said, oh, no, it comes not only to the Jews, it comes to the uncircumcised. That means the Gentiles. That means you or me. It doesn't matter whether we're Native American, whether we're European, African American, whether we're Asian. It doesn't matter. We're just not of the circumcision. We're uncircumcised. But God said, because of Christ, hallelujah, the same blessing that was on Abraham and the increase that was on Abraham can come to you. But it does not just fall indiscriminately. It discriminates. The Bible said, Jesus said, ask the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus is in a real search. His eye is not just taking in the crowd. His eye is going to and fro, picking out one here, ignoring 12 there, picking one out over here, one over here, one on the back row, one on the front row over here. God is looking at your heart. God reads the language of the heart. And he's looking for an Abrahamic spirit in people today that will say, hey, God, I want to be your friend. And I want to have great faith. I believe you are. I believe that you are the creator. I don't care what the modernist says. I believe you were the creation. I believe you created heaven and earth and mankind and everything that's on it. You see, when I say that, the crowd leaves. It's going to be lonely where I live, but praise God, I'm going to have the fatted calf, and I'm going to have the new wine, and I'm going to have the joy, and I'm going to have the peace, and I will have some fellowship because it's not I alone. It just seems like it compared to the multitude of people that say, no, I don't believe in the creation. They have to go do what they're going to do. But there's some people just like me that are saying, I believe in the Word of God. I am a 21st century Abrahamic covenant person. I believe that God is my creator. I believe he is my provider. I believe he is my shield. I believe he's my safeguard. I believe he's my food, my drink. I believe he's my shadow from the sun. I believe he's my sun from the cold. He's exactly what I need him to be. So he said, was that blessing just upon the circumcision or the uncircumcision? He said, both. On whosoever will believe. That was the faith of Abraham. And faith, no matter what you think, faith demands a response. When you study Jesus' ministry of miracles for 3.5 years, there was 2 things that he always demanded. It was faith and a response to that faith. His half-brother with James. James would write and say, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. There's always something to do that advocates and proves and shows and demonstrates the faith that is in your heart. And so with Abraham, it was this. It was circumcision. Which you understand what that was? The cutting away of the foreskin of the male organ? And God said, this is going to be my sign. All through the Old Testament, these are my people. The people of the circumcision. The people of the Old Testament. This is going to be Genesis 7:24. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And in the same day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, and all the men of his house born in the house and bought with money of the stranger were circumcised with him. That was the obedience. First, it's always faith. Secondly, it's always obedience. There is a lot of false teaching that is going on today. This entire introduction of the gospel of grace is absolutely nothing new. Somebody was telling me today, some pastor said, I was so grieved last night. I didn't see it. He said, I was watching television. And he said there was two preachers, and one was joking about how he was with the other one and said, you heard some of the language I used today. He said, I'm sorry about that. It really doesn't matter because I'm under grace. They're in for a rude awakening. When you've got time, go to the book of Jude. It's only one chapter. You can master that. And look at the fourth verse. It said, there come in men unawares among us that were used to be under the condemnation. That word condemnation means under the persuasion. In other words, they used to believe the gospel. But he said, now they have changed the grace of God into lasciviousness. And when you look at that word, it's lascivious, it's not only sin, it's the nastiest kinds of sin. And that's where we are today, and they're propagating that, and they are doing that because they can draw great crowds, because you can have people come and fill your buildings and write you checks. If you will just tell them, it doesn't matter how you live, it doesn't matter how sinful your life is, it doesn't matter how many people you sleep with, it doesn't matter what kind of perversion, grace will cover it all. That's absolutely a lie from the pit of hell. And when they tell you that you don't need to repent, remind them that repentance is found in Genesis and it's also found in the book of Revelation and almost every book in between. Repentance is not an ugly pill to swallow. It is an experience when you can get rid of something that tastes bad, smells bad, feels bad, is bad, and you can repent and God is just to forgive you. And so this was his obedience, was the circumcision. Abraham was circumcised. But now look at this. I'm going through this real quickly for you. But first of all, it was his faith. Second, it was his circumcision or his obedience. Now let's talk about Abraham's blessing. Genesis chapter 14, verse 7. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Abraham was the person that brought tithe to Melchizedek. When you study this without question in the book of Hebrews, Melchizedek is a type of Christ. And so Abraham brought his tithe to Melchizedek, which was a type of Christ. What's that all about? It's about faith. It's about being a friend of God. It's about being in relationship with the Lord. You say, but I know so-and-so and they don't do it. Oh, but like my mama said, it don't matter what they're doing. I don't care what other people are doing. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to get my Christianity off a TV screen. I'm going to get it out of a Bible. I'm not going to get it out of the most popular preacher or the biggest congregation at that particular moment. I've been doing this a while. I'm like farmers. I've seen some things, and I've seen them come and go. And friend, I can tell you that God's word never changes, and God never changes, but ministries change all the time. Personalities change all the time. I'm going to do what the Word of God said. And you say, why? Because I want to be blessed and I want to be increased. That's my goal for 2018. And so there was that failure of Adam, and Abraham received this reprieve. But let's not talk about Abraham as much as we want to talk about us. Because praise God, the first Adam was a failure. But did you know that Jesus Christ is called the last Adam and referred to as the second mad Adam, but primarily as the last Adam? And so it is written in 1 Corinthians 15:45, the first man Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural was first, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and is the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. Ladies and gentlemen, I was like everybody else on this planet. Everybody's doing it, and I was doing it. But praise God, Jesus Christ himself stepped off of the throne of God, walked down the staircase of heaven 2,000 years ago, went to a cross, paid my terrible debt, came out of the grave victoriously, and then had to wait around 2,000 years for me to show up. But praise God, when I showed up, you know how I showed up? I showed up with a curse on me, because I was the first man, Adam. I was of the earth, earthy. But when I was a 10-year-old boy, somebody told me the story of the last Adam, the second man, Adam. How we as human beings are in sin under a curse, and we don't have enough righteousness to pay our bill. We simply can't pay our bill. I had a friend in Chicago one time. We were staying in a wonderful hotel. How he got in there, I don't know. But we'd stayed for 4 or 5 days. And he came to my room and he said, Pastor Steve, I didn't know him very well. He became a good friend of mine after that. He said, I've got a little problem. He said, there was a guy that promised me that he was going to be here. And he was going to pay my hotel bill. And I got checked in. And he said, I've been here, and now my hotel bill is a few hundred dollars. And he said, this is the last day of the conference. I got no money. They're probably going to put me in jail. He said, can you help me? I said, I can help you. I said, he was a preacher and a good preacher. We used to have church on Saturday night. I said, how much your bill? He told me it was about $300 or $400 tonight. So I gave him the money. And then I said, something else. I said, where are you going to go this weekend? We was in Chicago. He said, I don't know, young preacher. He said, I got no place to go. I said, can you be in San Antonio, Texas by Saturday night? He said, yes, I can. Yes, I can. I said, I want you to preach for me Saturday night. I was getting ready to walk out the door, and he had no money. But you know what he had on? He had on a stainless and gold Rolex that he had bought in better days. And he said, Brother Steve, I want you to keep this till I can pay you back. And so I took his gold Rolex and put it in my pocket. I got in a plane and flew down here in a couple hours, and a couple days he shows up and he preaches, and he's so grateful. He's got a place to stay, and he's got food, and he's got somebody that took care of his motel bill, and he's giving me this Rolex. And so at the end of the Monday morning, I said, here, I got something for you. I gave him $1,500, and oh, he was just so excited. And I said, I got something else. I want to give this Rolex back to you. Oh, he told that all over the story. He told that story all over the country. Man, it was a great PR story for me. It made me look like a lot better person than I am. I just loved that story. I wanted to give him another one just to get him to tell that too. The point is, that's exactly where I was. I couldn't pay my bill. I couldn't check out. The policeman was coming, and the payment was death. And Jesus Christ stepped in and said, I'll pay your bill. Not only that, he said, I'll give you food. Not only that, he said, I'll give you a place. How many people are just thankful you've got a place in the kingdom of God? I gave him a place. I gave him a place. And praise God, I gave him a Rolex back. That's exactly what the Lord has done for me. When I was under a curse, all I did was say, I believe. I believe that God is God, and you are his son, and you died for me, and you rose again. And Jesus said, that's all I want from you. And because of that, he would not write down my sin, but he took my faith and wrote it down the place of where my sin should have been. And that's been 58 years ago. And every day he's been giving me a Rolex or a beef sandwich or a car to drive or joy when I should have been sad or peace when I should have worried. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, I'm thankful that he reversed my curse. I'm thankful that I got a reprieve. His name is Jesus, and he is called the last man, Adam. So then, which be of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. How are you blessed? With faithful Abraham. That's how you're blessed. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's happened to me. And you think that I want to repent of what I've received? You think I want to compromise? You think that some Thai guy on TV that's just brilliant as he can be can twist the scripture and say, you don't need to really repent. You don't really need to throw yourself on the mercy of God. I'm telling you, that friend cannot come in between me and my Jesus, because he wasn't there when I couldn't pay my motel bill. He wasn't there when I was headed to the gallows. He wasn't there when I was on death row. But Jesus Christ, my friend, was there. And when I was about to die, he said, I'll go for you. He went in my place. Thank God. What a Savior. And so somebody said, well, you're just foolish about him. I saw one of the quarterbacks today. Did you see that quote today by that quarterback? There was this quarterback for Philadelphia, isn't it? Well, the quarterback for Philadelphia. He had a picture of him hunting. He'd killed some ducks or something. And so he made a mistake, and just don't put all your stuff on Facebook. There's haters out there. They got a finger just ready to pay. It don't matter what you say, they're going to hate you. If you say, I don't own nothing, I'm in the world, I'm starving to death, they'll say it's because you're lazy and don't work. If you say, man, I'm blessed, they'll say it's because you are a thief. I mean, you can't please them. You can't please that crowd on Facebook. So he just put this little story on there, and he's a new quarterback, a rookie quarterback, and he put this little story on there where he'd gone hunting, and oh, man, here they come, talking about the evils of hunting. They couldn't believe that. His answer was very simple. He said, there's two things I love. He said, I love hunting, and I love Jesus, and I'm going to talk a lot about both of them. Friend, I'm the same way. I love Jesus. I just love Jesus. And so when somebody that's smarter than I am, richer than I am, wiser than I am, say you talk too much about Jesus, I simply don't care, because I love Jesus. And you don't understand, I was under a curse. That curse is lifted. I move from faith to faith and victory to victory. I never get up without feeling the presence of God. I've heard preachers preach all my life, and they say, you know, I hadn't felt the presence of God for about 30 days. I have no idea what they're talking about. Something wrong with you, buddy. Something wrong with you. Some said, oh, God just withdraws himself from you sometime to make him a prayer. No, he don't. I haven't gone through a day for I don't know how many years where I have not felt the abiding presence of Jesus Christ. I used to be under a curse, but praise God, I'm blessed to the point that I'm overflowing now. And you want to make me compromise? You want to make me streamline this? You make me want me to make it edible to the ungodly and the wicked? Friend, I want to be just as distinct and different from this world as I possibly can, because I can tell you right now, God's not going to bless this world, and God's not going to increase this world. I was in it when I was in Bible school. I was in a church one night, and it's a pretty big church, and there's maybe 1,000 people there. And I was with a guy that was going to Bible school with me, and the pastor at the church was a very esteemed man, very esteemed. And he had this large church, and we were going out this little doorway where it's just kind of come down to a double door, and there was hundreds of people trying to go out of there. And I heard this esteemed voice of this pastor, and he said, "Brother Ron so-and-so." He called the guy's name out. And I could tell by the tone of the voice, and we were just shoulder to shoulder trying to get out of there. And when I heard his tone, I just backed up. I got some people in between me and Brother Ron, because I knew it wasn't going to be pretty. He said, "Brother Ron, it's come to my attention you've been dating some of the girls in this church, and you've been less than a Christian gentleman. Don't ever date a girl from my church again, and don't ever come back to this church building again." Oh, you can't believe how far I got away from that guy. I didn't want to be associated with him until we got out there where it was dark. We had to ride back to St. Louis together in the car. Oh, he fussed and fumed all the way back to St. Louis from Indianapolis, Indiana. But the point is, I did not want to be associated with him because I didn't like the tone of the voice of that pastor. I knew that guy was in trouble. Hey, friend, this world's in trouble. Do you know that? It's in bad trouble. It's in trouble with God. It's apostate. It's blasphemous. It's all kinds of bad things are going to happen. But you know what? I found me a little verse. It said, "Come out and be ye separate." That means, praise God, I can stand by myself right over here. And while they're in trouble, guess what's happening to me? I'm being blessed and I'm being increased. I'm in the world, but not of the world. I won't compromise. Jesus is Jesus all by himself. He's the only one. He's the only way. He's the only road. Nothing can save you. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nobody died for you. Nobody but Jesus. He's the only one. I've separated myself from the crowd because it might seem to be a little lonely, but it really not very lonely. Because he has given me another comforter. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Praise God. And guess what? I'm being blessed every day. You say, how much blessing can you contain? I don't know, but I want to see. I want to go to my capacity. I want to take it to the limit. I want it until it's all inside of me and coming back out. The Bible said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Apparently you get so full that by reverse osmosis, it starts coming out. You can't contain all the blessing that God's going to give you. I promise you, if you won't be afraid to be alone, and you'll say, "God, you chose me alone. I'm the only one of the cousins. I'm the only one of the brothers and sisters. I'm the only one on my row. I'm the only one on my job. But praise God, my faith is big. My faith is yea and amen. My faith says I'm going to be in divine health. My faith says I'm going to be filled with the joy of the Lord. My faith says I'm going to be healed. My faith says I'm going to be the head and not the tail. My faith says I'm going to be above and not beneath. My faith says the Lord is going to overtake me from behind with blessing. My faith says he's going to ambush me with blessing from in front of me. My faith says blessing's coming from the left and blessing is coming from the right. And I say, I don't mind being alone with the Lord. Can somebody give God some praise in this house today? Is there anybody else in the first 3 days of this year that the Holy Ghost has been talking to you saying, "Hey, buddy, I'm going to bless you this year like you've never been blessed. Just get alone. Don't compromise. Don't hold back your testimony. Tell everybody you say, there's only one Lord. His name is Jesus. There's only one faith. That's that faith in him. There's only one baptism. That's baptism into his body. Make your testimony strong." Woo! Hallelujah! I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. This is going to be the best year of my life, Brother Leslie. Oh, God is our healer. God is our shadow. God is our sun. God is our strength. God is our joy. God is our peace. God is our power. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God! Glory to God! Shoko soto lo bahara. Praise God, praise God. Woo! There's somebody in here, you got 3 kids not living for God. This year, all 3 kids are going to get saved. All 3 of your kids are going to get saved this year. You need to just go ahead and praise God like they're already saved. Just go ahead and praise God like all 3 of your kids are saved. Praise God. Somebody in this room tonight, you're going to have a business offered to you, and you don't have the money to buy the business, but the man wanting to sell it is going to help you get the money to buy his own business, and you're going to prosper in that business. Praise God. There's other people in this building that are going to be promoted way beyond what they thought they could handle. Why? Because you alone. God said, I separated you out to bless you and increase you. Thank God. I say it to individuals and I say it to myself, but let me say it to this corporate church. We've got to be true to the Word of God, not true to the latest trend, not true to the latest fad, not true to what every other church is doing, but true to God. We cannot hold back our praise and worship. We cannot quench the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot fail and not preach the truth of God's Word. We've got to embrace Him and everything that is about it. If you want to see Him lifted up, you've got to also bear His train. I saw Him lifted up and His train filled the temple. A lot of people want to see Him, but they don't want His train. They don't want everything about Him. There's holiness in Him. There's separation in Him. There's godliness in Him. There's glory in Him. Oh, give God some praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's somebody in this building tonight that your desire is always to own a home. You've never owned a home, but you're going to get a home this year, and it's going to be a nice home. God's going to give you a home this year. You're going to move into a nice home. For the first time in your life, you're going to own your own home. Praise God. There's somebody here today that you'd like to be married, and you're not married, but you've been a little particular. Can I salute you for that? Can I salute you for that? You're God's prize. God created your image. Don't just grab up anybody. God's got somebody good for you. And I've got a word for somebody. 2018 is going to be the year that you meet that person that God created for you. Your life is going to change this year. And you need to start acting like it right now. Acting like the blessing of Abraham has already come to pass in your life. Would you stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I'd like to think everybody in this building heard this message, but the truth is, it's somebody. It's some few ones that are listening and say, yeah, that's me. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to compromise my faith. That God is putting His index finger on right now and marking you on the third day of January 2018 that before you get through this year, your life is going to be big. It's going to be big. It's going to be increased. It's going to overflow. It's going to fulfill all your dreams. And where your dreams start, it's going to paint a whole new scene. You hadn't even dreamed. It hadn't even entered into your heart or your imagination what God has prepared for you. Hallelujah! Turn your faith up. Turn your prayer up. Turn your worship up. Turn your Bible study up. Turn your witness up. Get ready. Something's about to happen in your life that never has happened. And I'm claiming that prophecy for myself. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Holy Ghost is here. I'm hesitating a little bit. I want this word to marinate on your spirit. Just let it stay there a while. It's like eating a jalapeno and then trying to wash it down with a Coca-Cola and wiping your lips with something because it's so hot. No, just let it burn a while. Let it burn a while. Don't wash it away. God's burning this dream in your spirit. God's burning this word in your soul. God's burning this dream and this possibility and this promise into your heart. Hallelujah. It's you. It's you that He's talking to. It's you that He's talking to. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I don't care what anybody else. I alone. I alone. I guess one of my best qualities as far as being blessed is I've never mind being alone. I've never mind separating myself from the herd. I don't have to dress like somebody else. I don't have to use the same jargon they use. I don't have to go to the same meetings they go to. I'm just convinced that I'm on God's radar constantly. Constantly. I never drop off of God's radar. I'm always there. Every time God looks at his screen, I'm there. I'm there. I'm there. His eye is on me. And every time I'm sinning, thank you, Lord. I never ever quit being filled with gratitude, Sister Dean. What he's done for me is more than I would have imagined he could do. But just because I'm so pleased with what he's done does not take away my appetite for him to do even more. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for yesterday. Thank you for 2017. Thank you for 2089. Thank you, Lord, for things in the future. Thank you, Lord, for 1975. Lord, I just believe that you're my God in the past, in the present, and in the future. I just give you praise, God. I just give you praise. But, Lord, I see it coming down the road. Woo! It's big. It's strong. It's powerful. It's mighty. I can feel it. Praise God. I feel it in my hands. I feel it in my feet. I got goosebumps on my neck. Praise God. The glory of the Lord is in the house. I see the Lord high and lifted up. High and lifted up. Come on, Pastor Brandon. Let's preach Jesus like we've never preached him. We're going to lift up Jesus until everybody's saved in this church. Until everybody's filled with the Holy Ghost. Until everybody's blessed. Until everybody's kids get saved. We're going to preach Jesus. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God's in this house right now. God's in this house right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right where you are. Don't come to the altar yet. Right where you are. I want you to reach up and get a hold of it. If you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's not for you. If you know what I'm talking about, you reach up right where you are and you get a hold of it and you just pull it down. Just pull it down. Pull it down, praise God. Pull it down. Like I watch on TV, these guys put these sock caps on and they go in to rob a bank. I want you to put on a sock cap and pull it down because you're fixing to rob hell. Woo! And then when you get to hell, just pull off that cap. Say, look who it is. Devil, you thought you had me. You ain't taking me to hell. I'm taking my kids out of hell. I'm taking this out of hell. I come to rob hell. I come to raise hell. Praise God! The devil thought he had you. You're just getting started. The devil thought he had your family. Your family's just beginning to blossom. Praise God. The devil thought he had your job. You got a better job coming than you've ever dreamed. You're going to make 3 times an hour what you've ever made in your lifetime. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord. I don't mind being alone because I know you're going to bless me and increase me in 2018. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody reached out to Pastor Brandon a couple of weeks ago when we were in Houston or in Dallas at doing Daystar. And the brother said, would you call? And he gave him the name and the number of one of the most famous preachers in America. He said, would you text him and tell him you'd like to be his friend? Or make some, because this guy pastors one of the biggest churches in all of America. And our friend in Dallas said, he is so lonely, he don't have any friends. There's a lot of people in this world that feel just that way. But friend, if you can divorce yourself from that feeling and realize that you're alone for a purpose, it's not forever, it's for a season. It's just for a season. You're alone for a season. And the only reason why you're alone for a season is because God don't want to put what he's going to put down there at a bunch of people with dirty hands grabbing it. It belongs to you. So God has set you alone, and now he's going to open up heaven and pour you out things that those people that he separated you from haven't even thought about, don't want, don't care about. And you won't be alone long, but you got to be alone a while for God to bless you and increase you. And so while you're alone, he doesn't want you on Facebook. And he doesn't want you on Twitter. And he doesn't want you on some kind of single.com deal. He's got you alone for a reason. He wants your undivided attention. He wants you to learn how to pray and how to intercede and how to seek and how to receive and how to speak to Him and how to comfort Him while He comforts you. He wants you to be that wife He's been looking for thousands of years. He's got you alone for a purpose. But if you will let Him maximize the blessing and the increase that He wants to while you are alone, you are going to be called then to go out amongst many people to show and to share what the Lord has done in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have never been this excited about the Lord in all my life. Praise God. I've been doing this for 50 years, folks. I've never been this excited about what the Lord is going to do. We're living at the right time on the calendar, praise God. We're not, there are many people in this room that will never see death. Jesus is coming, but before He comes, He's going to separate you out and He's going to increase you and bless you so that you can be an evangel and a testimony to the end time drama that's taking place, because there are people that are now in the grips of desperation and they have nobody to turn to. But God is going to bless you so much that you're going to stand out from the crowd. Everybody's going to know you're blessed coming in and going out. Everybody's going to know the hand of the Lord is upon you. And your blessing is going to transition into dozens and hundreds of people getting saved because of the blessing and the increase in your life. Give the Lord praise. Woo! Hallelujah. I want 12 people. I want 12 people that God has spoken to, almost like an audible voice here tonight while I was preaching, to get up to this altar, reach up as high as you can, step on your tiptoes and say, I heard it, I receive it, I've got it, and Lord, I'm the one. I'm the one. Just about 12 of you, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory! Oh, hallelujah! 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 Oh, God is doing a mysterious, miraculous, confirming origination of a miracle in your life tonight, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.